You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. And Ellen, we are also heard all over the world.
We are on AM 1510 WWBC, and you can find that on the internet, 1510wwbc.com, and you'll find all of our shows archived from this station. And if you go to cetamediainc.com, you actually get all of the last 10 years of shows. It's hard to believe. Actually, we're going on 11 years. Do you realize that, Sita?
Yeah, I actually talked to somebody this morning at the gym who is going to be tuning in, and they're like, 11 years, you must be having a lot of fun doing that job. And I said, no, it's not a job.
It's a passion.
If it was a job, I will not be doing it. Right. It's a passion, like you say. Mm-hmm. It's the love for humanity that you could take your life experience, your history, whatever you've learned as a student on this planet, and give back to the world.
Absolutely. Like, and you're so transparent, and you bring everybody on. It doesn't matter what race, religion, creed, political status, you know, whether you're a window licker or not, you get to go on the Viewpoint with Sita and Friends show.
Well, that's it. It depends on who's on the other side.
That's right.
But you know what it is, though? I'll be honest with you. I only have my eyes on making money and taking money from one person, and that's the husband. I don't want anybody, but I do need people to help us sponsor our shows.
Absolutely.
So we could bring quality shows on so that we could pay Paul and the station, which gives us a chance to have a voice in community radio.
But in all honesty, you've had so many great guests over the last 11 years, authors, people that have blogs, people that have started their own businesses, people that are national stars and, you know, movie producers and, you know, exquisite music people. So it's just amazing of how many people that you've stayed in contact with and networked with over the years to provide really great information on this conversational, unscripted show for the last 11 years.
That's right. And so for listeners who are tuning in, Ellen and Samantha and I are here every Monday in this extension of my living room, so to speak, a place that I could come and yap and talk, and so that my husband doesn't say, hey, you're making too much noise, right? So Samantha and I went to a party on Saturday. It was socially distanced. We danced. We had a great time for a friend. And you said you danced. You did the wobble pretty good.
It was amazing. I haven't danced in a year since the last time I went to New York. So my legs hurt the next day. The food was fantastic. And she looked absolutely amazing.
It was a great party. And our friend Kim was there. Kim Meredith.
Nice.
And you know what? I felt good because I got my hair done. Everybody was like, oh, yeah. And then, of course, I went to work on I went to work, you know, right after the party, in 6 hours after the party. And the patients liked it. And you know what was so fun? We're not supposed to really use our phones at work. But I do once in a while show the patients like a clip of something. And I showed them the clip of you dancing with Serena. And one of the ladies said, wow, they can move. I would do anything to move like that again, you know. So kind of like you bring a lot of joy to people, you know. So today we have a really good lineup. We've got a friend that I met on Facebook. Her name is Penny Fletcher, and she's a longtime student of the world religions and metaphysics.
Yeah, I was excited.
She is an author. She writes her own blog. She has written a few books. She's going to talk with us about that. She is also a former book editor, marketing copywriter for Amazon Book Surge, and she lives here in Florida. And then our second segment is with a lady. Her name is Kelly. And Kelly's going to be calling in from, actually, Georgia. And we'll see what she has to say. Her name,
Kelly Jennings.
Kelly Jennings. Yeah. I don't know why I didn't have Jennings here, but I just talked to her on the phone. Yeah. Thanks. Kelly Jennings is calling in.
Absolutely.
And she's going to be talking about, she's doing like a lot of seminars on birthing.
Yeah.
She does empowerment for women. And she's going to talk about the purpose and their confidence and what she's doing to help women from the minute they become pregnant what she's going to help them with their life. But she's taking it one step further, and she's going to follow this person and help them, their children as well. So she's found her purpose in life.
Yeah, she calls herself a strategist, which I thought was brilliant,
right,
the way that she put it.
So I just got off the phone with her. She's bold. She has a lot of strength. And I think it's going to be a great show. But before we talk to Penny Fletcher, who's on the phone, Penny, welcome to our show.
Well, good morning. I'm glad to be here. Or afternoon now. This is daylight savings time where I am.
Well, you know, we were going to go to you right in a minute. But before we go, Ellen, everyone is happy about their stimulus.
Yes. People, well, hopefully it comes and people are using it for what they need to use it for.
Right. And Samantha. And Samantha, it is all about strengthening families. It's about strengthening families. It's about giving families a little extra money so that they can put tires on their car, mm-hmm. so they can pay bills, so they can put it in the bank for their children. You know, everyone talked about poverty and how poverty affects other people. It's not always about how much money you make per hour or how much money you make for the week or whether you're getting paid on commission. Sometimes it's about that lifeline of having that little chunk of change. And I see Samantha shaking her head. I had a woman who came up to me and said, you know, I've been wanting tires for my car for the longest while, but I need four. I don't need two. And I'm using my stimulus for car tires. Now, what happens when you have car tires? You can get to work.
Yeah.
Without worrying about breaking down. Yeah. I had another girl that said she's going to be using hers to buy a phone because she's been without a phone for a couple of months because her little baby broke it. Mm-hmm. So that's extra money. You have to get it from somewhere. But what does a phone do? Keep you in contact with your children, the world, your job, your employer, you know. So, I mean, for those people who are talking nonsense, the stimulus is putting food on the table for some people.
Right. Absolutely.
The stimulus is paying people's bills. I mean, so I thank President Biden. I also thank President Trump before him, too, for the stimulus. We thank everybody. And we are building back better, don't you think?
Absolutely. And the stimulus, like you said, it's a lifeline. There's a lot of people that it may not be able to go to tires. It might be going straight to rent because they might have had a loss of income during COVID. So I think that what parents need to do, like you said, is, okay, yes, great, you got your stimulus. Use it for a purpose.
Right.
This is not free money for you to go out and party. Use this for a purpose. If you haven't taken your kids out during the pandemic, get in your car, go to a park, do something with your children.
Yeah, some people are using it to do some renovations in their home that they've been putting off. I had a guy said, I have a leaky toilet. I'm getting four toilets? Well, something must be
That's
wrong.
That's a big
with,
house.
There's something wrong with his septic system, I think. Yeah, it's backing up. But here's the thing, though, Samantha. When talking about rent, you know, Brevard County, Florida, we are actually truly blessed to live in Brevard. I'm on the Community Action Board. And there's money, millions of dollars here in Brevard County, Florida, to help people with bills and back rent. All they have to do is go on the Community Action Board and apply. But here's the problem. A lot of people apply for the money, and when they say to them, we need additional documentation that you actually lost your job, you could not pay the rent. You have to prove it. They're not going to just send you a check.
Absolutely.
So as a member of the Community Action Board that I was appointed to by the Brevard County Commissioners, I just want to put in a plug for them. So, Penny, welcome to our show. And tell us a little bit about yourself and how is it? You're calling in from Tampa, Florida, right?
Yeah, well, I live about 35 miles southeast of Tampa. You hit the stimulus. I know I'm not supposed to talk about stimulus. I'm here for something else. But my granddaughter, it lives with me. She's 23. Her car has been down now for about six weeks. She's been driving my car back and forth, working double shifts at Beef O'Brady. And I'm sitting here loaning her car until she gets her stimulus. So stimulus can't come to her fast enough for me. All right. What would you like me to start with?
Well, you know what? I read your bio. And, you know, last night I was sitting with my husband and we were talking about life in general. And we were just saying about, you know, Gandhi says and other world figures that we all look up to, Martin Luther King and other people, the Dalai Lama, that service to God is service to mankind. And then we also talked a little bit about Rumi and how, you know, Rumi and Omar Khayyam and all these people that were here on the earth before, people who had left a life that was so wonderful, and to talk about poetic things and poetry. And I thought about you and spirituality and how you have connected our existence on the planet to spirituality. So just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born Catholic, and came out of the orphanage with parents that one of them was Jewish, and the other one went to a church named Unity. And I went back and forth the Catholic Church with my aunt, and I went to Unity. Well, when I got old enough, I raised my children Episcopalian. And I was very Catholic as an Episcopalian. But then I started learning about other religions. And I thought, you know what? Everybody's not wrong. God's everywhere. I started going to Native Circle because my mother had been married to an Apache, actually, my birth mother. And so I started studying religions, and I realized that they're really saying the same thing. And over the past, I don't know, maybe 60 years. I mean, now I'm 75, and I was here back when they came out with a song in 69, The Age of Aquarius. Well, I think that we're actually right now getting into a better period, because people are realizing that we're not humans having a spiritual experience. We're spirits having a human one.
Well, you know, it all comes down to unity and kindness. You know, every human being.
I'm not a Bible quoter.
Right.
I'm not a Bible quoter, but I go by Luke 10. And that just tells you that to love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. And then it says, on these two laws hang everything. It hangs everything. And that's what all the religions are saying.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not a super religious person myself. I'm more spiritual, I would say. But I do wake up every day and I look at the birds that are chirping on the chimney, which I don't know why I have a chimney, but I have a chimney. And they're all up there making noise. And then I look at the flowers and I look at the growth. And I know that our time on this planet is so limited, and it's such a gift to be here. And I wonder why other people don't think that way. Because just the ability to use your diaphragm and breathe, just the ability to have greenery, and it is a spiritual connection, don't you think, Sam?
Absolutely. To me, every morning waking up is a gift.
Right. Ellen, you think the same?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm much like you. I'm a church hopper. I mean, I go to Christian churches. I've been to Unity. I've been to Calvary's. I've been to the Hindu temple. I've been to Jewish temples.
Yeah,
I've been to all of them.
I think it makes you better.
And I'm with you, Penny, that everybody can't be wrong.
Yeah.
So there's got to be something, those connections.
Right. So you just wrote a book, right? And you have a couple of books. Wrote one, and I saw you put it on your Facebook. Tell us about the most recent book that you just wrote.
The one that came out in January of this year, it was just published by Sunbury Press in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania. They're looking at another one that I've done too. It's called True Stories of Help from the Other Side. And it has 18 true stories that actually happened to me. And all of them except for two, the first one and the last one, can be proved by either paperwork or another person. And they're all things where another realm has touched here that I've seen. And so I follow science. In my newsletter every month talks about how science is connecting with spirituality now and proving it. Even if a tree is cut down, the roots of the tree next to it jerk and feel it. Everything is connected.
Yeah, and you know, at 75, my God, it would have been so much fun to have you in the studio. You sound really young. It's like my husband.
I'm an old hippie.
Yeah.
I'm an old hippie. I've got 32 broken bones. I've got titanium in two legs. I had somebody run over me in 2016, and I still mow my own grass.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. You could write a book just about that. Now, you also worked at the newspapers. You were you had a career in media. Tell us a little bit about what are the changes you see, like when you were writing for your newspapers in here in Florida with the Media General Communications in Tampa, how has things changed for journalists from then to now? Is it still the bottom line?
Exactly what my new publisher wants me to rewrite. I wrote a book. The publisher went out of business. The book was kind of taken by an online service so that I couldn't touch it. They didn't believe it was mine. He wants me to rewrite it. That's exactly what it was about. I'm going to be putting one out called Convergence. It's probably going to take me a year. I was in the seat when we were bought out over and over and over. I had a boss come in one time and change my headline, change my first draft, and say, put it out with my name on it, and then say, oh, but it's above the fold, so that's what goes. Oh, there's been a lot of changes. And I can tell you, all you've got to do is ask a direct question. I can tell you when and where.
Yeah.
They're down to six companies now. Down to six. And they own everything. And this was especially, see, in the 1940s, we had something called the Fairness Doctrine, where I was taught in the 60s that we had to look for another side. If there was one side, you could not put out a piece that only had one side. You had to look for another one. And I taught more people that when they came through the newspaper business. You can't just, the opinion is entirely different. Columns are different, that's sure. But nowadays, you can't tell, really, because all those laws are gone.
Well, you know what it is, Penny, because the problem, it used to be that if you were a journalist, you reported the facts. You were able, you were there for it to tell a story. You were there to tell the truth. But then people realized that telling the truth sometimes doesn't pay any money. So they started adding in their own facts and putting in their own part in the journalism.
What they call interpretation.
And it became a money-making, everything became a money-making scam. I mean, I look at some of the TV channels, you know, the communications that we have now, cable. And I'm like, how on earth does people get away with saying the stuff they do? And then you realize it's just the bottom line.
Because it's been fed to them. Let's say one company has bought everything in a 500-mile geographical area. And they actually will feed the main story, and they will feed the right down to the wording. And the anchors have to read it that way. Now, if you go to 10 different channels and you listen to 10 different news reports of the same thing, they'll use the same words.
Yep.
Yeah, that's very true.
Well, you know, I don't know how you, I don't know how you did it. I mean, you're the mother of four children. Two belong to you, and then you had a few from the husband, and you have the biological granddaughter. You do spirituality, meditation, holistic health, nature, pets. And I know Samantha is looking at some of the stuff that you have done online, and she is going to ask you a question about your book.
Hi, Penny. This is Samantha. I was looking at some of the chapter headings, and I see that you have one that states, Angel in My Bedroom. Can you tell me something about that?
1986, right off the top. That was before several deaths happened in my family in 87, 2, and 90. I was asleep in my room with my husband, who died in 2003, my second husband, who was a wonderful man. And I woke up. I think the conversation was telepathic. I didn't think that at the time, but he never moved. I thought about that afterwards. I had been awake because I could hear the toilet running, and I could see the smoke in the air over my chair. And I used to smoke until 1987. Now, I knew from those two things that this was not, you know, I wasn't asleep. I'd been up. These things happened. But I had turned back over toward my husband. I thought I was going to go back to sleep. And I felt like somebody was in the room, turned over, and there stood someone you would never picture as an angel. I mean, you picture the floating angel with the beautiful Mary, you know, or whatever. Okay, this guy was in a Roman suit from back in the ages when they were, you know, they had the helmet and the breastplate, and he had, like, netting over his arms, and I called them vertical blinds, down on the bottom of, like, a skirt that went to his knees. And I actually had the boldness. I said, "Who are you?" That was the first thing out of my mouth. I'll never forget one word of it. He said, "I am your angel." And I'm looking at this Roman soldier type person standing there, like a person. And I said, "Why are you here?" And I said, "What is your name?" And he either said Gapasek or Gapatek. Never did ask.
Maybe he said Patel. Gabe Patel.
Why are you here? That was third and last. And all he said was, I will shake the tree, have faith, and you will remain standing. And he disappeared. Now, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know when we started having all these deaths in the family and everything. I'm thinking, are you my angel shaking the family tree? What is happening? This had nothing to do with it. About 30 years later, a psychic person that I met through a psychic church or meeting said to me out of nowhere, we're talking about something else. She said it was for the fruit, you know. He shook the tree for the fruit. And I said, what? She said, I don't know. It's just someone is telling me to tell you I shook the tree for the fruit. And that happened, and her name was Cindy Castello. She is a well-known psychic in Apollo Beach. So
you've had a lot of spiritual experiences, and you've shared some examples with us. So we have about 3 or 4 minutes left. And here, so you said that your adoptive mother witnessed her mother's spirit leave her body just before she died. Now, I do work in nursing homes. I've worked in nursing homes for almost 30-something years. And I have heard about families that have said their loved ones were waiting for them. Mm-hmm. Their loved ones was waiting for a certain word. And people, not just in nursing homes, but in hospitals, the ICU nurses also report there is a sort of out-of-body experience. In a minute or so, can you tell us a little bit about your adoptive mother and what she witnessed?
Yes, I've had 3 times I've been with a family member that died. 2 of those times, the realm actually changed. But this, my adoptive mother was holding her mother's hand. And her mother's hand was all wrinkled and spotted and gnarled, and her fingers were all arthritic. And in the moments before she didn't die bodily. She didn't die until the next morning. She didn't die. So I believe the soul left when, for just a split second, and my mother couldn't tell me whether it was 15 seconds or a minute, but her skin, she opened her eyes, she was praying, and she looked at their hands, she was holding her hand, and her hand looked like it did when my mother was a child. Her hand was beautiful with the nails and the beautiful creamy skin, and she didn't look anything like she did, all arthritic, and then suddenly she was that way again. So my mother always believed that her soul was leaving the body when she opened her eyes. She didn't look away from the hand and the arm. She didn't look anywhere
else.
That's
such a peaceful transition, too. We have one more quick question for you.
Why did it seem to be a miracle to you when your second daughter was born on the birthday of your daughter who had passed?
Because I had had 2 dreams prior to that, nothing that could ever make up for a death of a child. But my second daughter wasn't due. And by pure chance, a bunch of things happening, long story, I ended up in the same town, in the same hospital, in the same place, a month before that daughter was due. And we didn't have any sonograms, so I didn't even know it was a daughter in 1968. And I ended up with the same doctor, everything, and I had my second daughter, Cindy Lou, on my first daughter, Stacy's birthday, in the exact same situation, same place, and that early daughter was 8 pounds, 2 ounces. And I was given back the whole first week of August that I used to dread, because that was the week of her death.
Well, you know, in Hinduism, we do believe that too. Like, you know, like if somebody passes on, they said a soul will come in someone else. And, you know, you've met people sometime, like you say, oh, my God, I feel like I know you, like we've met before. And it's reincarnation 101. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I know Ellen and Samantha. You know, it's kind of like you gravitate towards people of your own tribe without knowing it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter. Like, we're from three different races, we're different backgrounds, but we gravitated. We found our people, right? So before you leave, Miss Penny Fletcher, can you give us your website for people to buy your books or maybe get onto your newsletter? You sound fascinating. I hope your granddaughter can bring you down one day to join us in studio. So give us your website.
I'll have my car back when she gets
Oh, yeah. Thanks to the stimulus. All right. So give us your website, and how can someone subscribe to your newsletter?
All they have to do is go to pennyfletcher.com. Very easy. my other website and the new blog that I just started about this spirituality, and it says all religions are all welcome. Everything, this is completely open. It's all towards unity. Just PennyFletcher.com.
Well, you will get a ton of new followers today, because we've got a lot of great loyal listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Miss Penny Fletcher, thank you so much for calling in. We're going to take a quick station break, and we're going to be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right after these messages.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MEDFAST. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral, and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Champion Home Healthcare, keeping your loved one happy, healthy, and at home. Available at 321-306-2551. Once again, 321-306-2551. Champion Home Healthcare is ACHC accredited and licensed, Medicare certified, and a TRICARE provider. Champion Home Healthcare, 306-2551. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Bigi on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny, beautiful Cocoa, Florida. Oh, my gosh. I woke up this morning and I was so thankful just to be alive and breathing. I don't know how people just don't think the same, but that's another show.
It's a whole other show.
So what a great show time we had with Penny Fletcher. Yeah, 75.
Yeah.
What does it tell you? Age is just a number.
Exactly. And when people stay engaged and people follow their passions and they have things to do and you stay active, age is only a number.
Yes, keep busy, right? Keep busy. Exactly. That's right. It. And, you know, I want to start our second segment with a little bit of humility. You know, Nelson Mandela once said that humility is one of the most important qualities which you must have, because if you make people realize that you're no threat to them, then people will embrace you.
Absolutely.
And isn't that the truth?
Yes.
Because it seems as though people are fearful. And when you are so fearful of other people, other things, the way people perceive you or the world, it causes undue stress, anxiety, and it causes depression. You spend so much time worrying about what people do and say and think that you make yourself crazy over it. Not crazy in the sense that mentally, you know, but it's just like, why cloud your beautiful mind with things and people that unfortunately don't do anything to help you or see your loved ones?
We used to say rent space. Don't let that person rent space in your head.
That's well, it's like Samantha.
You got so many other better things to talk about.
You know, when I met Samantha, she had told me about what she was doing for the Hemophilia Foundation. And I was so proud of you, because that was something that you decided that this is a problem and I'm a problem solver and I'm going to get started in being a part of this. So tell our listeners a little bit about the foundation you're involved with.
Well, I'm a very proud ambassador for the Bleeding Disorder Coalition of Florida, and we've been helping the Hemophilia Foundation of Greater Florida for 16 years since my son received his diagnosis with von Willebrand's disease. It's a very rare bleeding disorder that actually affects 1% of the world's population, and 90% of people go undiagnosed. So it made me want to make people aware, show people, learn something. So we hope that every time you're here with us on Viewpoint with Zita and Friends, you go and you Google something or you learn something new. I've challenged everyone. March is Hemophilia and Bleeding Disorder Awareness Month. I challenge everyone to Google it. Look at it. You might have someone in your family that's had an issue and you can't diagnose it, and this might be the missing component to getting that diagnosed. I do a lot of fundraising for them. I do advocacy in Washington and Tallahassee. And we look forward to always having amazing people like Zita bring awareness to the world.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and Ellen, you and I met at the American Business Women's Association. Mm-hmm. And we met through a friend. What's his name? Michael. What's his
Everett.
Last name? Everett. Yeah, a friend. We should never forget him.
No.
And you saw the need to help me because I have something to give. Right. And I'm proud of myself now, because, you know, it used to be like I would second guess myself. Mm-hmm. Like, do you really want to have a show? Do you feel like your book is a powerful story?
I remember right before it got finally released. I mean, you had those moments right before you were like, I'm not going to release the book. It's too personal. And
yeah, there but was some you stuff. You made me do
and
it.
I told you, I said you put that much work into it. It was a passion for a long time. Don't let fear guide your dreams.
Right.
You know?
And it's nice to have women in your life that empower you and motivate you. Mm-hmm. And because, you know, here's the thing. If you have $20 in your pocket and you worked for it, it's not taken away from me. Right. Nothing. Mm-hmm. If anything, I should strive to make 20 or 40 or whatever, right? So people feel like if they share knowledge and information and experience, they're taken away from someone else. We're not supposed to be like that.
No.
Because this earth, we're only here for a little time. And if you allow someone to use your experience and share with them how to make them the place a better place, make the world a better place, you're really helping, right?
Absolutely.
And I found, like, Ellen, you are one of a kind in that you believed in me, you know, and now I take that opportunity to bring you, to have you and I and Samantha on the show all the time. And we talk about important things, but we should never forget the people who were there for us when we needed them.
Absolutely.
It's called loyalty. Mm-hmm. And I sound like President Trump.
And
he rewards people for loyalty.
There's a lot to be said for loyalty. It was, you know, misdiagnosed or something, but there's a lot to be said for loyalty.
But I do see that in him. And I know you had something to say about that, loyalty.
Loyalty to me is everything. It's integrity. It means you're honest. It means you're not afraid to be who you really are. And that's what I love about being here with you ladies every Monday. Monday was not my favorite day of the week. Now it is. But every time I leave here, I feel inspired. I learn something new. And anytime I spend time with you ladies, even outside of here, you make me feel so welcome. And like you said, like if we've been around each other forever.
Well, here's the thing. You know, the bottom line is this. When you leave the company of someone, we're getting older and bolder and wiser. If I sit with somebody and when I leave their company, I didn't learn a darn thing except I feel down. I'm not supposed to be around that person ever again. You lift people up, whether it's your friend, whether it's your family, whether it's your children, whether it's your coworker. If you can't lift people up and help them in some form or fashion, then you know what? You're better off not speaking because your words are just meaningless. Mm-hmm. Words matter. Your actions matter, right?
Absolutely.
So, and I met this lovely lady, Kelly Jennings, and we've been back and forth on Facebook and Messenger and email. And I was so, I looked at her and I'm like, she's amazing. Kelly, in 2019, she was awakened to her purpose with full clarity to empower women and build them up with confidence, embrace their purpose, embrace their life. And it's called Her Purpose Drives Passion. And I like what she says. She's going to talk to us a little bit about herself. So, Kelly, tell us a little bit about yourself before we go on and on about your bio.
Hey, Sita. Yeah.
Well, it is lengthy, and radio is so expensive. We don't want to waste our entire segment just reading. So you tell us a little bit how you got involved with helping people to find her passion.
Yeah, well, you know, it's because I struggle with finding mine. And when I was in the military, I realized that it was all about helping others. And I realized there were times that people did not help me. And I said, if I ever discover who I am, I'll never let anyone else suffer alone. And when you don't know your passion and you don't know your purpose, you tend to suffer because you're just feeling like you're wandering and you're wondering and you're always questioning who you are. And so that's just been my passion, to help women come out of those places of not knowing their value and helping them to provide their value towards their purpose. And in all that, it drives your passion.
Sounds like you are a member of the American Business Women's Association, because that's what they do to us every month when we go to the meetings. We feel so empowered when we walk away. We should actually submit your name, maybe, you know, to them. But you're also the host of Empower Her TV. Tell us a little bit about your phenomenal teachings.
Yeah, well, you know, that's a TV that I started on Facebook Live, and it's about women being willing to get up, you know, developing the courage to get up from wherever they are, whether it's weight loss, whether it's leaving an unhealthy or toxic relationship, and they have a story that got them up. And I just want to hear other people's testimonies of what caused them to get up, because sometimes we think we're the only ones going through it, but when you can hear that somebody else has gone through it and they got up, then you can get up as well. And so that was the reason why I started that. It's a session where I do teachings or I do interviews of women and men who may have a thriving testimony to help someone get up from their place of stagnation or just being stuck.
You're also the founder and CEO of Kingdom Champions, which is an LLC, and it has an extension of a business factor to it, where you do breakthrough and growth coaching, mentoring programs. Your campaigns focuses on birthing, purpose, healing, ushering women into their greatness. But I want to add to that, when I read about it and I saw one of your videos, I want to say the minute somebody becomes pregnant with child, the womb is full, it's ripe, something is going on in there, that people need to have a questionnaire that now says, number one, how do you plan to feed this child? Number two, how do you plan to clothe it? How do you plan to shelter? How do you plan to educate? Where's the father? How many people are involved? Who's going to babysit? Who's going to watch the environment in which his child is raised? And then at the end of it, ask him, are you registered to vote? And if the person says, well, I'm concerned about all those life issues, well, are you voting for your issues or are you voting for somebody else's? Because when the kid is born, now you're responsible for the kid, yourself, and the environment. Don't you agree?
Oh, I agree. And all that you said, you know, when we're trying to birth something, we should do some planning ahead of time. You know, I'm always, I'm always fascinated with people who have children, and they don't have a way to take care of them, you know. And we do that even in our spiritual births. You know, we want to have all these fancy, you know, purposes in life, you know, but we have not thought about how are we going to develop this purpose, this vision. How are we going to actually get it from infancy stage to adulthood? You know, how are we going to do all these things? And many times we don't realize that it takes time to develop, and sometimes in order to birth, we have to make sure we've had some intimacy with that dream. You know, we've laid down and allowed that thing to really impregnate us, to grow in us, you know, because many times when we're pregnant, and you know us as women, if we've ever had children, most people don't know we're pregnant until they actually can see that something is different in our midsection.
But you know the seed is there because you know what's going
yeah.
on.
Well, my grandma
and we're
6 weeks.
Excited about what other people can't see, and that's where we have to maintain our vision, because a lot of times people can't see what you see and what you know, and you can't allow people who don't see what you see to discourage you from pursuing what has been birthed in you to grow thereby.
Well, you know, we want to thank you for being a retired Air Force veteran as well. 21 years,
yeah.
You have two master's degree, a master's degree in psychology and in business. Girl, you know what you're talking about. And you also have a PhD. You know what you're talking about because you've been there. You've been like all over the world and you've mentored people. And I mean, there's so much you've done.
Can you talk to us about their confidence?
The confidence, you know, confidence is something that gets developed over time and it's always challenged. Because confidence is developed at every new level or every new promotion that you may get. You know, you may be confident in weight loss because you know how to do it. But then when you get that promotion to be the CEO, you're like, my confidence is not the same. And so sometimes we have to recreate our purpose and our value in the confidence level that we're at. And know, like, hey, if you were able to overcome that, you can surely conquer this next level. And so it's just knowing that you have what it takes to do whatever you need to do. But it's important that we don't take on more than what we're really qualified to do, because sometimes that can affect our confidence. We can demote ourselves by getting promoted to something that we're not qualified in.
Well, and it's kind of funny that this is Ellen. I read an article quite a few years ago in an Atlantic Journal, and it talked about the confidence gap. And it was something that was written by, again, powerful women such as yourself that sort of saw a need in the women's workforce. And ironically, if there was a job posting and there were 10 qualifications for someone to fill out, you know, to be able to meet in order to apply for that job, a woman would only apply characteristically if she had more than 7 of those skills. A man will apply if he only has 3 of those skills. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of, you know, an ironic sort of a situation, and much to what you're speaking about now, it has a lot to do with women's ability sometimes to get that raise and to get that promotion
yeah.
and to get those things because yeah. we don't feel like, you know, we have some kind of worth issue somehow.
Well,
yeah.
Well, you know, and all of that, you're right, Ellen, all of that comes from the foundation that you have within your home, right? Because my
sometimes.
Mother and father had 18 children, but here's the thing. The self-confidence they gave us, we couldn't get it in any school, university, college, anywhere, because if you were crying about something, they'll say, we'll give you something to cry about.
Yeah.
If you complained
yeah.
about the food they cooked, they'll say, we'll teach
then
you how to
go
plant.
Home and don't eat.
If we complained about the 7 of us sleeping in one bed, they'll say, then sleep on the floor. Mm-hmm. They built confidence without us even knowing it. And I remember my mother waking me up at 5 o'clock in the morning to peel onion and garlic and cut, you know, vegetables. And I'd be like, when I grow up, I'll never cook. Well, guess what? She instilled the art of cooking, whether I liked it or not. Mm-hmm. But the thing is,
yeah.
they build you up without you knowing it. And nowadays, you have people here in the United States and around the world complaining, my kid don't have air conditioning on their bus. Hello?
Yeah.
We walk 2 and 3 miles with no shoes on, scratching our foot
Absolutely.
All the way to school. So the thing is, when you self-confidence, I think, comes from within, but it comes from the people around you.
Absolutely.
Now, that's also mm-hmm. saying that there were people that called us not good-looking because we were dark. Well, guess what? We overcame
yeah.
that,
yeah.
right? Every time they teased you in that time, in that moment, it was hurtful, right? But we learned something from it.
That's right.
And,
yeah.
and you know what we admire about you is, I read your bio, 25 years of marriage.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. That took a lot of confidence.
Marriage is a work in progress.
Absolutely. You know, marriage is, you know, I think sometimes we go into marriage looking for the perfect person. But the whole idea of marriage and the miracle behind marriage is that two whole people become one. The problem in most marriages is that we're looking for our better half, and your better half should be within yourself so that you are whole and you don't come into the marriage asking for the spouse to give you what you're missing in life. Because when that happens, then you become dependent on each other and you find out that the things you thought they were going to add to your life, they don't even have it to give. And so we start straining each other to become who we're not. And I realized my husband didn't have certain strengths that I had. And because of that, I was able to help him in areas that I'm strong in, and he's able to help me in areas I'm strong in, but we're still whole in ourselves, that I didn't need him to be hugging me all day long to make me feel loved. You know, I would say, can you go find something to do because I'm tired of looking at you, you know? And so, so it's that confidence of knowing that we came into the marriage to enhance and complement each other, not to complete each other. And I think when you know that, it helps you to know that I can do without you, but I choose to do it with you. And that's the whole thing, that I need you. I want you, but I don't need you.
Well,
and,
you hit on a good point, because when my daughter got married, you know, everybody was giving advice about it. And, you know, one of the things I said to her was, you always build each other up. You build right. on the weaknesses, and you excel on strengths. And yes. you never throw in a man's face if you're making more money than him. You never throw Absolutely. That you're a better cook or whatever, because then you belittle that person. You should be discussing if you want children ahead of time. You should be discussing what kind of home you want to live in, where you want to live. How you're going to raise your kids. Those discussions should be had before you lay down with the guy, you know,
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And it goes to what you're saying. And you also, not only do you have a wonderful husband, you also raise some wonderful kids.
Yes. I'm going to ask you a quick question, Kelly. I do want you to tell us about our kids. But on the second part of that, I want you to tell me, how bad do you think social media is for younger children?
Well, you know, social media is bad for all of us.
Amen, sister.
But I think it's really bad for kids, because that's where they're creating their identity, and they're finding that they have to do everything they see happening in social media. And, of course, we have the cyberbullying that gets worse and worse. And now we have Clubhouse that even adds to that, I would say, an addiction to social media. And, I mean, I go out to eat with my girls, and we're not really eating because they're on the phone and they're watching videos. And I said, can we put that away, please? And, you know, so I think it's really detrimental to their psyche and even their intellect, because they don't have conversations anymore. Everything is TikTok and Snapchat and, you know, whatever they're doing, they don't have a full conversation. I say, can you write a full sentence with a comma, a period, and, you know, and then that it makes sense versus the Ebonics type of writing and talking. So it's unhealthy, and I think we have to find ways to discipline ourselves, to kind of, you know, detox ourselves from social media, because we're just so consumed with it, we feel we can't do without it in any way.
Well, you know, you look at what happened in New York with Governor Cuomo. Not that I'm going to have a show about that right now, but the thing is, we've lost a touch of looking at people when we talk, touching people when we talk, hugging people. I'm a hugger, and I have to be careful who I hug. I can have a conversation with a fellow with dreadlocks, a man wearing a Hindu outfit from a temple, a dhoti, what we call it. I can talk to a fellow wearing a suit, and I could talk with anybody, because I know I have integrity for myself, my soul, my self-respect. But people on social media texting, that they don't even know how to look a man in the eye or a woman in the eye anymore. And then when they finally do meet a human, they think they want to sleep with them because they're looking at them.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, no, and I caught a lot of slack because I did not, to this day, he's 21 years old, and we don't do social media.
Yeah.
Because I want him to live in the real world.
Yeah.
And he puts his phone down more than I do. Mom is guilty of having the phone in her hand much more than he is.
Well, when you think about social media, it has good points and bad points, because during the pandemic, it saved a lot of us. I mean, I FaceTime with the elderly and their families before they passed. We had church online. We had temple online. We had weddings. One of my brothers, sent us a link to a wedding that one of our relatives was having in Trinidad. So it worked for those things. But I think you're right. All of us are guilty of it, holding it, the social media at some point. But somebody just texted me, Kelly, and they wanted to know, what's going on with you all in Georgia? We want to give a shout out for the votes for Reverend Warnock and John Ossoff. My friend said, please thank her. She's from Georgia.
We did that. But, just like Stacey Abrams had said, and they gave her a lot of accolades for what she did in the state. But she also said, those who are fighting for the safe election and trying to protect the results of the prior election, she said they don't care about our rights to vote. And even now they're doing all they can to do voter suppression to make sure that somehow they can win back Georgia. And I just think it's terrible. It's terrible that they, they say let the votes matter, let people's voice be heard, but yet they're doing all they can to suppress and alter it. So we got a lot of work to do here in Georgia.
In Georgia, around the U.S., but Kelly Jennings, yeah. I mean, you're a retired Air Force veteran. You have 2 master's degrees. You raise your wonderful children, married 25 years. You're wholesome. How can people find you to follow your videos, read about you, and just be empowered by what you're teaching with your ministry?
Absolutely. Well, I'm tearing down my website, so my website is not up right now, but you can find me on Facebook. I have 2 pages there, Facebook page, Kelly Jennings Ministry and A Confident Woman. It's a private group for women. And if you want to be a part of it, all you have to do is ask to join, and I accept you. And then we're posting constantly on things about women, growing into women's health, and I'm also doing life coaching and anywhere like that. So you can meet me best on Facebook, because that's usually where I'm at, doing social media.
So with the last minute we have left, you do believe that the power of women, we have the power. We are the heart of everything that's good, yes, that makes the world spin. It's us that complete the circle of life. So if you could say it in a nice way, what is this power, the heart of our being, our matter?
Yes. For women, everything that comes in this world comes through us. Nothing can make it through this world without coming through our body. And we have to know how to use our body for the purpose of generating life and not strife. And so as long as we know how to use our power the right way, we can birth a lot of things in this world that will be powerful, effective, and we will see a better world if we know how to use our power.
Generating life, not strife. My gosh, we both wrote it down. And you're so right, because we're seeing so many human beings, lost souls, who are taking their time, their effort, their energy to divide, promote racism, to spread fear, to gin up hate against people they don't even know, people that are unborn. And it's so sad, because when we meet somebody like you, Kelly Jennings, and you take the time to call in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends all the way here in Florida, it makes us feel warm and special, Ellen, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And it makes us feel warm and special every time someone comes on and shares such a passion and such a wonderful feeling for other humans to be able to do that and put the passion into something that really
got me feeling invincible.
Well,
today.
Paul said,
and you got us all writing down stuff.
You know what? We still have 3 minutes, Kelly. So, the last 3 minutes we have, can you talk a little bit about your birthing mentorship program? And do you have the fathers involved in this program, and who can join?
Yes, the birthing mentoring program, although it sounds like it's for women, it's really meant for men. But I use a lot of the concepts about natural birth, of how women can birth their purpose, and understanding the birthing pains of life, that we go through birthing pains, we go through stages of birth, we go through places where sometimes we lose that child and we have to regroup and do it again. I had 2 miscarriages before I had 2 natural children, and I had to really go through the process of recovering my voice in the fact that I had something to offer into the world. And so when you have something that's birthing in you, never give up on your dream. Never give up, even if it looks like it just can't happen, even if you have to use alternative ways to be impregnated. Do not give up on what you know is in you, even if it seems like you've lost it. You can regain it. And so, yeah, I birth them into their purpose and helping them to know that you have something to offer, and never let anyone not tell you that you don't have value. You have value, and it's important that men, they can participate in it as well, because you can't have a seed if it's not fertilized. So we need men to come and give us words of encouragement instead of words of tearing us down and, you know, building us up where we, you know, may have been torn down. So we need the man's voice just as well.
Yeah, and well, we see a lot of people are broken. So many men yeah. are broken. And I say yeah. that from the a good place in my heart, where I do see where, you know, they're broken because society has broken some of these men. How do you reach the man to say, like you say, nothing is fertilized without, you know, a seed, right? But these men yeah. who are walking away from their responsibilities to raise their children, and sadly, some people have the saying, the government is not your daddy, but we see that sometimes it does in certain instances. And what do yeah. you say to these men so that we break that stigma where government should help? We should have opportunities and education for people. But what about these broken men who walk away?
Yeah, you know, many times it comes from their childhood. It's the generational curses of a fatherless home. They've grown up with that, and so that's all they know. So it's an education. We have to educate our men to be fathers, because that's not something that they just automatically know how to do. And giving them patience and kindness to help them know that even if they weren't the best fathers, they can still be the best fathers starting right where they're at.
They have to be engaged. And I think that questionnaire that you're going to give to the mother about if they'll want a clean environment and opportunities for their children, the father should fill it out as well. And they should both register to vote and vote for their own interests. And also, Kelly, yeah. we talked a little bit earlier about the stimulus. Everybody in our studio knows someone who's using the stimulus money. Thank you, President Biden and President yeah. Trump before. They're using it for car repairs this time around. What about you?
Well, mine is going in, unfortunately, it's going in savings.
Good.
You know,
perfect.
There's going to be another rainy day, and we just got to be careful not to just go out and spend like we have no common sense.
Mine is going into right. savings as well.
Absolutely.
Well, once again, Kelly Jennings, thank you so much for spending time with us today. And thank you to our first guest, Penny Fletcher, of calling in. We had a great, great conversation today. So thank you so much, Sita, for finding okay. fantastic guests again.
Thank you, Kelly. We're going to send you the podcast.
Thank you, guys.
Ellen will send you a podcast later on off the show, but I'll talk to you later. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you,
All
Penny.
Right. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
The preceding program may not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WWBC.